12. And while you're finding that again, what an honor and privilege it is to be behind this sacred desk. Amen. I know your prayers are with your pastor as he's out preaching the word of God. Amen. But the greatest report, amen, and amen, to the pastor, as my dad has pastored, and then sitting on their brother Buxton, is to hear that they had good church while they're gone. Someone get the Holy Ghost. Someone get baptized. That's the greatest report you can send to the pastor. So why don't we just go ahead and have some throwdown apostolic church tonight. Is that all right? Amen. Psalms 137:1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And then verse 5, they came to the declaration that if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. And if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Psalms 151:12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from my blood guiltness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud at thy righteousness. O Lord, open up my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I want to preach to us on this simple topic tonight. Make music with what you have left. Make music with what you have left. Would you put your Bibles down and help me pray? God, we love you tonight. God, we thank you for every guest, every visitor, every saint of God that's in the house of the Lord tonight. God, we pray, God, that in the remainder portion of this service, God, that you would have your way, that you would talk to us, that you would let your spirit minister to us in this house. God, you're no respecter of person, God, whoever's here under the sound of my voice. I pray, God, you talk, you minister, God, you know every need. I pray, God, you get right where we're living tonight. Get beneath the surface, oh God. Help us, touch us in the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, move in this house. Oh God, let there be a mighty rushing wind. God, let there be a wind of the Holy Ghost blow in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, we'll be careful to give you all praise and all glory and all honor. Can we clap our hands one more time? Come on, let's let the Lord, amen, be worthy to be praised and magnify him right now. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Tonight, amen, as I begin to study for tonight's message, I begin to look at some of the, amen, beginnings of the violin. It was this violin that was created out of several string instruments. And its origin began to come from Italy somewhere in the 1500s, somewhere around 1520s. And then, amen, they would learn that they could take 70 different pieces of wood. And they would come up with the, amen, the structure of the violin. It would be this beautiful, amen, piece of instrument that they would use to make a unique sound that had never quite been made before. The violin is a very interesting instrument for an individual to play. We know very few, amen, across the world that has picked up the violin as the pianist or the drummer or a guitar player. But to ones that do, amen, pick up the mountainous task and try and learn how to play it, it is a unique and a beautiful sound to the ear of the hearer. And as I began to research, amen, some of the violinists that would step across the stage and begin to play with such fervor and passion, I became interested on Isaac Perlman and an article that I read about him in 1995, November 18th. It was here that the famous violinist came on stage to give a concert at the Ivory Fisher Hall at Lincoln Center. It is here in New York City that he began to, amen, have this concert of Perlman. And you, amen, if, as this writer would write, if you've ever heard Perlman before, you would understand that it was, amen, a task for him to get upon the stage. He was stricken with polio as a child. And he had braces on both his legs and walked with the aid of two crutches. To see him walk across the stage, one step at a time, painfully, slowly. It's an unforgettable sight. He walks painfully, yet majestically, until he reaches his chair. And then he sits down and slowly puts his crutches on the floor. He undoes the clamps on his legs and tucks one foot behind the other. And he began to extend himself and grab the violin from its stand. And he nods as he puts the violin under his chin. He nods to the conductor to begin to play. And by now, the audience that sat in that room that night, they understood the ritual. They bought the ticket to hear him in concert. And there, they quietly remained silent as he did his normal routine and getting ready. But on this night of the 18th of November, 1995, hey man, this night was different. Something went terribly wrong. Just as he finished playing the first few bars, one of the strings of his violin broke. You could hear the snap like a gunshot go off through the room. The whole symphony began to stop. Everybody backing him, he then stopped. Everybody in the room looked around wondering what was going to happen next. To each individual person in the room, they felt like that Isaac Perlman would either put his clasp back on and put a crutch under each of his arm and hobble off stage until he, amen, restrung the violin that he played, or two, until he picked up a backup violin. But this night, amen, he did not do such. Amen. But there he waited a moment and he closed his eyes and he signaled to the conductor to begin again. And the orchestra began to play and they played right where they had left off. But this time, amen, Isaac Perlman began to play with such passion and such power and purity that they had never heard before. And as this writer would write, anyone knows that it's impossible to play a symphonic work with just three strings. But Isaac Perlman refused to know that on this night. They said as they were sitting in the room that you could hear as he began to modulate and change and recompose a piece in his head, that he would be able to play the symphonic tune and rhythm and harmonic, amen, perfect rhythmic tune with the three strings that were still on the violin. And at one point they said it sounded like he was detuning the strings to get a new sound from what they had never heard or never made before. And when he got finished playing that, amen, symphonic, amen, piece, the crowd began to stand and applaud him with a standing ovation. And they began to give him, amen, that great applause as everyone stood to their feet and clapped their hands and yelled for an encore. And there, Mr. Isaac Perlman raised his bow to quiet the crowd. And he began to say, not boastfully, amen, but with a reverberant tone, and he said this: you know, sometimes it's up to the artist's task to find out how much music he can still make with what he has left. I want to preach to you tonight on what music, amen, can you make music with what you have left. Stay with me for a moment, but some of us tonight, amen, we can relate to the scripture of Job 30 and 31. My harp also is tuned to mourning, and my organ into the voice of them that weep. Possibly you can identify with Isaiah 24 and 8. The mirth of tabrets ceaseth. The noise of them that rejoiceth endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. Maybe you can go along with Ezekiel 26 and 13. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harps shall be no more heard. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight. Amen. It seems as if things have been taken from you. And here tonight you feel like you're only here with what you have left. And you're not the man or the woman that you felt like you used to be. And you're not the young person that you started out in your walk with God. And you're not the parent that you were when you first got saved. And tonight you show up here in the house of God, and you have that on your mind, that all I've got is this left. Amen. We can find the words of our text of a nation, a people who have been vanquished by the armies of the Babylonian Empire. And their beloved holy city, Jerusalem, has been sacked aflame. Amen. The beautiful temple that was built by King Solomon has been desecrated. And it's all left in ruins. And the once proud nation of Israel has been placed in chains. And they've been marched out as slaves into a strange and a foreign land. The background of the book of Nehemiah is found in the biblical books of Jeremiah and Daniel, Ezekiel, Haggai, Ezra, Esther, and Zechariah. Jeremiah painted the picture of where they were as a nation and the judgment that was coming. Ezekiel and Daniel began to prophesy to the people in their captivity. Haggai and Zechariah prophesied to the people who returned from Babylon and encouraged them to rebuild the temple. And Ezra encouraged the return to follow the law of God. Let's not judge them again. Esther, like Daniel and Nehemiah, is the story of a Jew who rose to high rank in a foreign land. But lastly, we find this little gem in the book of Psalms that speaks of the morale of the Jews in captivity. And it paints a picture of the devastation that they were facing at that very moment. You've got to understand that these people, amen, who were known throughout the world for their beautiful songs. They were known throughout, amen, the empires, amen, and nations to be, that they were the church that sang and worshiped God. They were known for their joy. They were known for their exuberant worship. They were known for their shout. Hello, somebody. They were known, amen, for their hand of God that was upon them. And when they got into the presence of God, or when they got into the joyous worship of God, and they began to sing their songs, they were known, amen, for having some flat-out church, if you will. The Philistines were terrified of them. The Philistines hated when they sang their songs because they understood there was a morale that came with it. The Philistines hated it when they began to worship. In fact, the Bible says at one point when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into battle, and while it was a forbidden thing to do, yet they worshiped God so much that the Philistines, it put fear in their heart because they heard the rumbling of people shouting and of them dancing. I will tell us tonight, there are people in this house that I feel like I'm preaching to tonight. At one point when you used to worship God, it'll put the devil on the run. At one point when your family used to pray, all hell would break loose and have to run out of your atmosphere because you had a power for worship and a way to intercede into God's presence like nobody else had to. And now you're here tonight and you're sitting here like, amen, this Israelite nation, amen, with your harp upon the willow, and you're saying, what do I have left to give to God? How do you expect, stay with me for a moment, but how do you expect me to worship when my hands are in shackles, and it seems as if everything's been stripped from me? My finances are in a mess. My children are backslid. Hello, somebody. My life's a mess. How in the world am I supposed to find joy out of all this? And in the meantime, it seems as if the devil's poking me, and he's saying, where's your shout, and where's your joy, and where's your exuberant worship? And you're here tonight thinking, God, all I have is what I've got left. You got to understand, amen, that this harp, amen, was never meant as the harps we see in today's, amen, world, that they are set on a pedestal and they're very large in its, amen, diameter, amen, and by its height and measurement. But in the word of God, when we look at a harp, it was never meant to sit on a pedestal, but it was always a marching instrument. It was something they had when they marched. It was something they had when they marched around. Amen, they sang and they danced. It was never a stationary place. It was not something they picked up and went back to, but it was something that was constantly supposed to be a part of who they were. And that is why, amen, the adversary, as they have them in bondage and in chains and in shackles, they say, why don't you sing us one of those songs of Zion? Amen. And these people, amen, are reminded. He said, if I forget how to sing praises to God, he said, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, and if my fingers forget how to play, let them forget their
cunning, or let them forget how to be useful. I will tell someone here tonight, I am not telling you to give God the leftover. That's not what I'm preaching tonight. I'm not telling you to give God second best. I'm not telling you to give God one half and keep the other. But what I am preaching to you tonight is it's time to make music with what you have left. I will tell you tonight, you may not have what you had first starting out in the kingdom of God, but you still got your mouth, and some of you still got your strength, and you can still throw your hands up, and you can... You may not have with what you started out with, but I've got a feeling tonight, there's an apostolic church, there's a guest, there's a visitor, that you got something left, and God's not looking for the leftovers, but he's looking for what you got left in your body. My God, I wish somebody would shout for joy in the house. I wish there was a church of Zion right now that still's got a praise on your lips. And if you ever forget the praise, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. I'm telling you, we can never forget how good God's been. I don't care what you're lost. I don't care what shackles you're in. You got to learn to make music with what you got left. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house right now. I feel the Holy Ghost ministering to somebody right now. It's time you make music with what you got left. You worship God. You speak in tongues. Honey, that's music in God's ears. That's music to heaven. When you lift your voice and praise God with everything you've got. My God, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Amen. I got more to preach, but I'm telling you, amen, God's going to minister to a home right now. I feel like God's going to minister to a marriage tonight. Amen. When you feel like you ain't got nothing left, and you feel like there's nothing left to give to God, there is something that happens in the life of an individual. Amen. We learn, amen, how to give God everything that we have. What are you talking about, preacher? If I get it all back, I'll learn how to worship. If God will bless me here, I'll magnify him again. No, that's not biblical. Amen. That is not the word of God. God requires us to give him his praise first. Well, God ain't opened the door yet, honey. I heard one preacher say, you might as well learn to shout in the hallway if God ain't opened the door yet. I'm going to tell you something. There's been some doors that were closed in my face. But when I learned how to give God what I had left, all of a sudden doors started opening. There was some situation in my marriage that we were facing. But I learned how to give God what I had. My God, I learned how to give him what I had left. And all of a sudden, God said, hey, I'm going to inhabit the praises of my people. I'm going to enthrone myself. I'm going to dwell among them. I'm going to let my presence go into theirs. And I'm going to make intercession for them. I'm telling someone tonight, it's time you get your praise back. I'm telling someone, it's time you get your joy back. I'm preaching to some Pentecostals right now. It's time you learn to worship God again. I don't care if death visits your family. I don't care if marriage or divorce. I don't care if your kids are backsliding. You still got a right, and you still got a reason to lift up your hands. All you. Come on. Come on. Yes. My. The Holy Ghost is thick here right now. I'm going to tell you something. Can I dwell on this for a moment? Amen. We can talk about praise. Amen. We understand it's Judah. Amen. We've heard it preach, amen, over and over and over that Judah means praise. I'm going to tell you something. You can look into the word of God. Amen. And Joseph's down in the pit. Amen. They're getting ready. Amen. They want to kill him. But Reuben says, no, we can't kill him just yet. We don't need to kill him. Maybe we need to do something else with him. And they put him in a pit and they're trying to figure out. Amen. What are we going to do with Joseph that's down in the pit? Amen. But the Bible says that Judah comes up with the idea. Maybe we need to sell him off. Maybe we need to get him out of this place. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you, out of all the other brothers that were there, it wasn't Levi, it wasn't Reuben, amen, it wasn't Simeon, it wasn't, amen, it wasn't the rest of the brothers, but Judah said, we got to get him out. What are you saying, preacher? I'm going to tell you, there's some praise that can get on your lips that can get you out of pits of sin and pits of... I'm telling you, when you get a praise, when Judah, I'm going to tell you, Judah was the one that got Joseph out of there. I'm going to tell you, when you learn how to praise God even in your pit, when you learn how to praise God even at the bottom of the barrel, when you learn how to praise God when you ain't got 2 cents or up the debt, hello, when you can't even pay your tithes because you don't know what you're going to do next, you still need to pay your tithes. But you're wondering, my God, how am I going to pay that and still pay my bills? I'm going to tell you what you do. You give God everything you got left and watch God intercede on your behalf. The Bible says in Psalms 101, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lambs, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his gates, amen, with thanksgiving. Come before his presence in singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalms 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who have forgiven all thy iniquities, who hath healed thy disease, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm going to tell you something. There is something about praise, amen, that gets on an individual that can pull them out of situations. There's something about strength. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. There's something about you lifting your voice. I can't explain it all. I can't give you Bible and verse for everything, even though there's plenty of it. But I can tell you there's something about lifting your hands. There's something about lifting your voice. And all of a sudden you feel God like you haven't felt him in a long time. And when you walk out of this house tonight, you feel like your strength is back. And you feel like you have the master's touch on your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. 'Twas battled and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on an old violin. But he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good people? He cried, who starts the bidding for me. $1 do I hear two. $2, who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room, from the back, a gray-headed man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust off the old violin, he tightened up the strings, and he played a melody pure and sweet, sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, now I am bidding for the old violin. And he held it aloft in his bow. 1,000 do I hear two. 3,000 once, 3,000 twice. Going and gone, said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, we just don't understand. What changed the worth? Came the swift reply. And the auctioneer said with a quick response, the touch of the master's hand. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible talks about the strings of the heart. The Bible talks about David, amen, penned these words. Amen, talks about, amen, getting a hold of the strings, amen, of the heart. I'm going to tell you something. If you can get yourself in the hands of God, amen, the one that created you out of the dust of the ground, the one that knows your every flaw, your every detail about you, if you can put yourself in the hand of God, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how many strings you have left. It doesn't matter if life's plucked off, amen, one of your strings. It doesn't matter if life's broken you down. It doesn't matter what you've been through. If you can just put yourself in the hands of God, something that seems invaluable, something that seems worthless, something that seems, amen, has no, amen, cost at all, no wealth in it. When you get done out of God's hand, it's something about the hand of God. There's something about the DNA and the handprint. Amen, no one has the same handprint. There's something about the handprint of God. When he puts it on the life of a broken vessel, amen, he has something about him that he cannot leave them the way that he found them. But when God puts you in his hands and his handprints upon you and he engraves himself in your life, there is something that transitions in your soul, in your mind, and in your spirit. And you come up out of that situation realizing that God just played the strings of my heart. I'm preaching to someone here tonight that God's trying to get his hands on your life, that God's trying to get his hands on your soul, that God's trying to get his hands on your heart, and he wants to play a sweet melody that's pure and sweet in the ears of God. But you got to be willing to put yourself in his hands. Second Timothy says 2:20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. When you sanctify yourself, amen, when you put aside, amen, all your insecurities, when you put aside all your excuses, when you put aside, amen, with your inadequacies, thinking about all you have left, amen, all that's been taken from you, and you put it in the master's hand, he says, I can put something in that earthen vessel, and I can use it as a office, as a thing of honor, and I can use it for my glory. I will tell you tonight in Psalms 118, amen, he said, the Lord is my strength. 118:14, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Notice, it was in the song, in the Lord, that he became my salvation. You know that the violin, they say the older that it gets, the better music that it makes. The more weather that the violin has went through, the more roughness that it's had. Some of the greatest violins, amen, as we know, as a Stradivarius, amen, come, amen, all the way from the 1750s, amen, and there are some of the most valued violins in all across the world, and they like them so much, not just because of the handprint, amen, of the man that created them, and while he did an awesome work, but they say the beauty about it is the sound quality that comes from the aged violin. They don't want it to be, amen, have a new epoxy upon it. They're not looking to sand it down and give it a new tone, but there's something about the age of it that gives it a sound, amen, that is unlike any other instrument. I will tell you that some of you tonight, you feel like you had better worship when you first got in church. Some of you tonight feel like you had a better walk with God when you first got saved. But I'm going to tell you something. In the hands of God, you get better with age. I'm going to tell you something. You can't thank God, amen, like you did when you first got saved, because you weathered some storms now. You went through some situations in your home. You buried your mother. Hello, somebody. You buried a family member. You've been through some things in your life, and now you can make music like you never could before. What is it? It's because you've been through it. It's because through it all, he's been there all the way, and he's been there all the time, and he never left you by yourself. And even though you've got some wear marks, and even though you've got some battle wounds, you can make a louder noise. You can make more worship than you ever could before. Because you've learned to make music with what's left. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. I'm telling you, God gave me this word to preach to someone in this house tonight. Amen, that you can still make music with what you've got left. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Amen, will tell you just go to church and you just be there. No, no, no. We need you to be that prayer warrior you were 20 years ago. We need you to be that prayer warrior that you were last month. Hello, somebody. Amen, it's hard for you to backslide. Amen, when you get joy in your spirit. It's hard for you to be a casualty of this world. Amen, when you get the song back in your amen, in your worship and in your praise. It's hard for you, amen, to walk out of those doors, amen, and turn your back on God and on the church, amen, once you've, amen, given it all to him. I will tell you tonight that there are many people that wait until they have nothing, and then they turn to God. Amen, we have to get it in our mind. There is no plan B. There is no other choice. God is the only way. God is the only hope. God is the only way I'm going to make it. My marriage isn't going to make it by just us, amen, living in the honeymoon stage, honey, but what's going to make it all the way is God being in the center of it. What's going to get our kids to heaven? It's not just amen, amen, dressing holy only in itself, but we have to have that relationship day in and day out. Can I stay here for a moment? We got a family in San Diego, amen, that's got out of the church, and they look holy. They never change their dress. But buddy, there ain't one, amen, example of godliness in their life. I've been in church all my life. I know we got guests here tonight. Amen, but I want you to know you're not in this thing alone. There are people that come to church and they look good in the facade. And without holiness, no man shall see. We got to have holiness. Don't get this preacher wrong. Hello, somebody. but you can put your suit and tie on and you can come in service and service in and out, amen, and never have a touch from God and feel like you're okay, amen, because everybody's seen you lift your little hand up over there, but you never made it down to the altar and you never really got it straight with God, amen. And you put on your dress, you look holy, you know how to do the Holy Ghost hairdo, you know how to waste 2 cans of hairspray, praise God, you know what it takes to get it, amen. I don't know how many bobby pins you got to use, amen. You know how to do the work. But when you go home, you're empty. Not because there wasn't power in the house, but because you've been so broken. I'm not preaching to bad people right now. I feel like I'm preaching to some good people in the house. But you've been so broken, and you've been so, amen, all over the barrel of life, and life's dealt you a bad hand. And you say, my God, I'm just trying to exist. Preacher, leave me alone. Let me just hide in my corner somewhere, and let me just lay here for a while. I'm telling you tonight, amen, if we look into the life, amen, of one of the great presidents, or who could have been one of the great presidents, amen, you can look into his life, I believe it was Garfield, amen, as he began to be voted into office, and there was a, amen, someone tried to assassinate him, and they said that he did not die alone from the bullet, but he died from the constant probing of the wound from the doctors. Because every time he would begin to heal, the doctors would open him up again and they would try to find the bullet and they would dig down in the wound again. He could have lived with a bullet inside of him and it would never have even mattered. It didn't hit any vital organs. But they kept going back to the same old wound and they kept digging their finger deeper and deeper in it until instead an infection got in there and he did not die of a gunshot wound, but he died of infection because they kept probing the wound and the pain in his life. I'm telling someone here in the Holy Ghost tonight that you can visit that painful memory all you want, and you can go there and lick your wound, and you can revisit it day in and day out, but if you keep going back to that same place of hurt and that same place where you lost everything, you will die of a staph infection spiritually, because you'll be so infected by your wound, not by the thing that caused it, but by you constantly going and visiting it. I am telling someone here in the Holy Ghost tonight, it is time that you give every hurt, it's time that you give every pain, it's time that you give every misfortune, it's time you give it all to God tonight and say, God, I may not have very much left, but I'm going to give it all to you, and I'm going to make music with what I've got left. I'm preaching to someone in this house. I pray to God you hear me tonight. It's time you give it all to God. Every pain, every stronghold, every barrier, every weight that so easily be set upon you, it's time you give it over to God and let him take care of it. Let him heal it. Let him deliver you from it. Come on, can we throw our hands up in the house right now? Come on, the Holy Ghost is here tonight. My God, I got more to preach, but I just wonder if there's anyone I'm preaching to right now that will slip out of your, amen, slip out of your pew and come around this front with your hands lifted up. Come on, keep your hands up, every eye closed, but I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. God said you can make music with what you've got left. Broken in your spirit, broken in your worship, broken in your home, broken in your marriage, broken in your walk with God. He said, I can make music out of your life, but you've got to be willing to put yourself in God's hands. Come on, stand with me all over this house. Come on, would you stand with me tonight? I began to look into the life of even the violin collectors. I came upon an article of a Kyle Dillingham. You can play softly. I came across the article of Kyle Dillingham, and he was a violin collector, but he did not collect the normal violins. He only looked for broken violins. Across the world, he went over to Tokyo, and he went over to some, amen, of the museums across the world, and he records himself as saying that he played violins that were worth more than $18 million. Hear me right now. Violins that were worth millions and millions of dollars. Antiques, collectibles, things that had the handprints of great, amen, creators. Escapes me the name of a violin maker right now. They have a special name. But all the ones that have their handprint in that violin, And yet Kyle Dillingham says that I don't want those fancy violins. I'm not looking for a violin. You can read some of his articles. If you look him up, Kyle Dillingham, he says, he calls around to all the music institutes around the world and he asks them to donate their broken bows and their broken violins. And every day he picks up a broken violin out of the box and he puts it upon, amen, what's left of it upon or under his chin. And he pulls out the bow. And he begins to play not on a 4-string perfect violin with no scratch or blemishes, but he pulls up a piece of wood that's been broken, 70 pieces of wood that were welded together, if you will, and they're mangled and they're broken. The strings are hanging across the bars and the frets, and yet he says, I can make music out of the broken violin, and I can make a sound that I could never make out of an $18 million violin. And he's went on to record, amen, albums. And he's played in great groups. And they don't ask him to come, amen, with his, amen, a Stradivara that's worth millions of dollars. But he shows up there with a box of broken violins. And he gets in there and he sits with the rest of the crowd. And he's the main guest, amen, of the orchestra. And he begins to play those broken, that broken fret and those broken F holes that are on the front. Amen, they've been gouged out. And yet he says, I can make music out of a broken violin. That's better than any violin that I've ever played in this world. It's no wonder God said, come to me with a broken and contrite heart and spirit. You know why? Because you can make a music. You can make music out of your life like you couldn't make until you were broken. I know this is a popular preaching right now. Because you're looking at a preacher that's been through some broken stages in his life. Oh yeah. Hello. I know what it looks like, it's all good in the hood. I'm just telling you right now, you're looking at some people. Hey man, you look around, you can see your neighbor that's not a perfect violin, amen, with a Stradivari, but we've had some broken moments in our lives. But somehow God's willing to pick us up again. And he's willing to make music out of what we've got left. And the sounds that come out of, I've heard some old mothers pray, amen, that's lost everything. I've heard some old gray haired mothers, amen, that their husbands have passed away and their kids, amen, amen, are a mess. And it seems as if all they've got is living off Social Security and they barely got anything. They're living off of pinto beans like my grandmother. And they're trying to rub two pennies together. And yet they come to the house of God and they can pray and they can travail like nobody else. Why is it? Because they've learned that they can make music with what they have left. Can we throw our hands up one more time? I'm asking the Holy Ghost to come in this house right now. I'm preaching to some people. This may not be for everybody tonight, but I know what I felt the Holy Ghost all day today. Come on, can we make our way to this altar right now? Come on, can we make our way to this altar right now? Come on, let the Holy Ghost minister right now. Come on, come on, come out of the balconies, come out of the back. Come on, the Holy Ghost is talking to a family right now. The Holy Ghost is talking to a dad right now. The Holy Ghost is talking to a young person right now. Come on, God's going to let you make music out of your life with what you have left. Oh, come on, come on. Come on, that's right. Come on, let God talk to you right now. Let the Holy Ghost minister to you right now. Oh, yeah, come on, that's right. I want to make music with what I got left.
All is what you ask of me. I will not withhold.
I can't tell you. Give God what I don't have, but I can give him everything that I've got tonight. I can give him what I lost. I can give him what's been stolen from me. I can give him what I've already given away, but I can give him what I have left tonight.
Be willing to say,
come on, that's right. Come on, keep making your way down to this front. Come on, God's going to minister to you right now. God's going to strengthen a mama tonight. God's going to strengthen a daddy tonight. God's going to strengthen a labor saint. God's going to touch a new convert tonight. God's going to strengthen you in the Holy Ghost right now.
And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes.
Let's push this a little bit right now in the Holy Ghost.
I will give you
come on, let's not rush this tonight. Come on, let's give them all right now. I'm going to give them all tonight. 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 Everything I've got, I'm laying it down on the altar. Everything I've got, I'm laying it down on the pew. Everything I've got, I'm laying it down here to God. I'm giving you everything, God. Oh, God, I'm giving it all. Use me for your glory. Make music out of my life. Play the strings of my heart. If I'm broken, use me. If I'm broken, I'm giving to you, God. Oh, God, we need the master's touch in the house. We need the master's hand in the house.
If all is what you ask,
come on, this is your night. Come on, let joy be restored to you. Come on, let joy be restored to you tonight. Let joy be restored to you tonight. Come on, let joy be restored. I need my joy back. I need my dance back. I need my shout back tonight. Come on, you're going to get it here on the altar. You're going to get it here before you leave tonight.
Say yes. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my best,
let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you, O God. Let the nation be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and cover the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Come on, your increase is direct connected to your worship. Your increase is directly connected to how you praise God.
My very best.
Come on, your increase is directly connected to what you give God tonight. Come on, you need a blessing. Give God worship. You need a miracle. Give God all you've got. You need a breakthrough. Give him it all tonight. Give him it all.
I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes.